you know, I got a big dick, so whatever. I can just kind of float through the rest of it. No, I swear though, I'm only like one third creepy. Give me your IG. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite Power Ranger? What's your favorite dinosaur? But actually, no, what is your favorite Power Ranger? The biggest cheaters are definitely flight attendants because they're always hooking up with people on their layovers, banging the pilots. Give me your number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. Use Instagram to like really optimize your whole dating life. Oh my God, somebody's talking to you. Better go study. The library's over there. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Welcome to the Inner Confidence Podcast, where we bring you men's dating and lifestyle advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a former collegiate golfer turned poker pro turned finance guy who became obsessed with learning about male-female attraction and dynamics and passionate about teaching men how to improve and optimize their love life. Tune in each week and we'll bring you the latest and greatest strategies on how to get more dates, how to build a thriving social circle that brings the best men and women into your life, how to become a better networker, and how to design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download my first date protocol. It's the best piece of content I have. It'll help you optimize your first date and subsequent dates. And I like to connect with my listeners personally. So if you want to grab a copy of that, please send me a direct message on Instagram. I'm at Robbie_Kramer. Now let's dive into this week's content. Cool. So you guys have been fucking up bad. Especially you, Daddy. Maybe it was Poppy. Poppy used to fuck up a lot more, but now he's going rogue less often. So the reason I wanted to do this deep dive little podcast slash call, we've got four of the guys from the Inner Confidence community on, is because I kept noticing people making the same mistake. And that mistake is kind of doing their own thing in situations where they're not quite ready to do their own thing. Like you think because XYZ happens or you get a little bit of success that all of a sudden you can drop, you know, the written rules of attraction and kind of make up your own thing willy nilly and be like, oh yeah, that seems right. And this is just human nature. This isn't because you guys are dumb or stupid or idiots or ding dongs or any of those things, which you might be. But in this situation, everyone does it. I mean, I do it. I did it all the time and I do it in sports, you know, get some instruction for hockey or golf. And then I'll be like, yeah, maybe the instructor wasn't quite right about this thing. It doesn't quite apply to me. So I'm going to do my own thing. And then sure enough, I start getting bad results, but I forgot that I did something different. And instead I'm just thinking my instructor is an idiot because I'm sucking. And then I go back to the instructor and he's like, oh, well, you're actually not doing anything that I'm telling you. You're doing this whole other thing. I'm like, oh yeah. I remember when I stopped doing the thing you were telling me to do and substituted me because it doesn't seem to apply to me. And the things I'm talking about, like are physical laws in the universe when it comes to mechanics of like a physical movement, like swinging a hockey stick or a golf club or something. And the same goes for this stuff with attraction. This stuff, a lot of it is a science. A lot of it is an art and an unexplored science, of course. But when you start kind of doing your own thing and you don't realize you're kind of doing your own thing, that's when things kind of get wonky and haywire. So I want to take this time to really focus on like first the initial stages of the funnel, which is, you know, meeting girls either during the day or during night, most notably meeting them online. And then all the places you're most likely to screw up, which is texting, you know, obviously the follow-up after the dates and on the dates. We already did a deep dive on the dating protocol. And I'm just curious for those of you who were on that call, I think a few of you were, have your dates improved based on following protocol?
Yes.
What were you doing before? Dramatically? Okay. Does someone want to give an example of what they were doing before and then realizing that they weren't quite following protocol and now seeing the impact of that?
Well, before what I did was I went for like one coffee date and that ended normally in like, it took maybe one and a half hours. And it ended normally with like a little bit of a walk. And most of the time I would run out of stuff to talk about at the end of the date. And then there was like a very awkward ending of the date. And then I was planning like a next date and the next date. And the drop off point from like the first date to the second date was massive. Like, I don't know, 80-90% of the girls wouldn't come out to the second date. And those who come out to the second date, they then take at least another 2 dates to get a kiss. And I don't know, I never got sex with any of those.
And then you change something.
Yeah. And then I'm basically hard copying anything, everything that is described in the dating protocol. And so I didn't have many girls so far, but I'm 2 out of 2. So
nice.
That's pretty good.
Awesome. What about you, Daddy?
Well, I could say
Giorgio.
Yeah, you got it. So I could say that definitely more success with the protocol. I think certain aspects of the protocol that you don't appreciate as important because you're not experienced in it, you may or may not even realize you're not implementing that until we'll have a discussion or something will come up where Robbie, you're like, this is why that's important. Or did you do this? Because this is the reasoning behind what someone might perceive to be just a little step that's actually really important. So I think the more we talk about the protocol and the more we learn about it and the reasoning behind it, it reinforces that behavior and following those various steps that someone may not consider important that are actually very important. Like, you know, you called me out the other night for sitting at the bar at a venue too, where it wasn't my intention to do that, but it was just that the venue was busy, so that was like the only place to sit. But it got me to thinking that, like, yeah, shit, like I completely missed the reasoning for venue two. So now I might want to reverse my venue one and venue two setup, because, you know,
yeah,
venue two tends to get really busy and venue one is darker and easier to find a spot like that. So those sorts of things, it's helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that example, because I was going to actually give that anyway, because it's such a perfect illustration of like something that seems innocuous that is in fact like a pretty big mistake. Because,
yeah,
right, you would think like, oh, who cares? Venue one is designed to just kind of connect and make her remember that she likes me. And then venue two's really that part of the date where you can really like kind of get to some kissing, some intimacy, some deep conversation, really kind of solidify that attraction. But if you're sitting at the bar, right, it's, you know, if she has any issues with PDA, you're getting interrupted. People are like, you know, if it's a busy bar or a cool place where it's really, you know, happening, people are going to be like trying to order over you, and it just really kills that opportunity. So it seems like no big deal. Oh yeah, like I'll just, instead of doing venue two in like a quieter lounge where I can sit on a couch, or maybe this place is a quiet lounge, I'll just sit at the bar because it's the only thing open, right? And okay, it's like those little fuck ups that can really change the entire outcome of the date.
Yeah, 100%.
So for you, it was kind of switching venue one with venue two, right? And realizing that your venue one was probably a better venue two option.
I haven't done it yet, but I might need to find a new venue two altogether, but I'm going to give it a shot and see how it goes. But I would anticipate that it's going to be at least as good, if not better, outcomes for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really encourage you guys to reread this dating protocol like every month. It's short, right? It's going to take you 10, 15 minutes tops, but you're going to like understand a deeper level of it each month, because you're going to be getting that much better. You're going to be going on more dates, and something that seemed like totally irrelevant to you before is going to really make sense. You know, it's pretty interesting for me when I like go back and watch old videos of something, I'll always find something like, holy shit, I totally like didn't get that the first time around. And now I really see the importance. So I even used to read the dating protocol like before most of my dates. And I'm the one who fucking wrote it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like most guys, I'm guessing, read it one time many months ago after me yelling at them, maybe read it again. And then it just doesn't really occur to us to do that. But that's really a good practice to continue to do that, because the nuances is where all the magic happens. You know, it's like the devil's in the details, all those little things. And speaking about that, I'm glad AD joined, because one of the big things I wanted to talk about is approaching. And AD was at the Immersion in Austin recently, and we did a ton of approaching, and he's still even fucked up. We just had a conversation on Discord yesterday about opening lines during day game, and he was operating under a misconception or a wrong assumption. AD, you want to explain what was going on with you there?
Yeah, I mean, like the hey versus like pausing and then going into the opener.
Yeah, or if you're in like a crowded or busy street with lots of background noise, I can do it. But
yeah, I am actually. Go ahead.
Okay. So AD made a post asking about conversation skills. Like, what can I do to follow up? Because I feel like I'm fucking up my approaches because my conversation game ain't that great. And my retort is, yeah, you could try to learn some like voodoo conversation skills, or you could just work on your first impression because that matters a lot more. Like within the first couple seconds, 10 seconds, less 5 seconds, she's already decided if you're worth, you know, like continuing to possibly explore that romantic connection with. And when I asked AD, like, well, are you focusing on like the first line or what's going on? He's like, oh, I thought they didn't hear that line anyway, which is just a monumental blunder, because that's the most important line of the whole thing. And I think the misunderstanding was when I said she's not going to hear your opening line, what I'm referring to an opening line is like the hey, like the pre-opening line, whatever you're saying to get her attention. But most guys rush through that and they go, hey, not to be that guy that like hits on you at the mall, but I got to be that creepy guy, right? And she's not even really going to hear that first part because she's kind of in her head. She's just going to hear like, creepy guy, what? So the openers that are funny and calling out the situation and like the thing that's going to make her attracted to you. Remember, the thing that's going to make her attracted to you is all your nonverbal skills, right? Your body language, your fashion, how you carry yourself, the vibe you're giving off, of course. And then what you say, because what you say is going to obviously have a big impact on that vibe, right? Like if you're Prince Charming in the group, right? And you look like a fucking Abercrombie model, you got a lot more leeway when it comes to what you're actually saying. But with the hottest girls, you really don't, because they've seen everything. They've had enough hookups with, you know, other Abercrombie models that like nothing's that impressive. And they're actually going to be more impressed with a guy with solid game, because that's actually harder to find, right? The girls who are young and like inexperienced, yeah, they're going to want to bang the Abercrombie model. And that guy can roll over with like, you know, B minus conversation game and do well with those chicks. But like the top of the line girls, that shit's not going to fly. Right. Having those like lackluster opening skills, making like a weak first impression ain't going to work. So really kind of like nailing that. I call it the 1-2 punch, which is that pre-opener eye contact, deliver a funny opening line, and then following it up with another kind of funny line. So that for me, like, was always, you know, some variation of, hey, not to be that creepy guy that like hits on you on the sidewalk, but I gotta be the creepy guy. And then she'd kind of giggle and be like, don't worry, I'm only like a third creepy though. And that would get a second laugh. And then I knew that I was like in, because, you know, now she's already laughed at two of my jokes. I'd have got her undivided attention. But very important to be like, to get her to stop her and get that eye contact. Hey, eye contact, I count in my mind like 1/1000. And then when I know she's present, when she's looking at me, like then I can deliver the next line and have some actual like presence in my voice and in my delivery. And that's going to make a huge difference. So on a scale of 1 to 10, AD, how much more do you think you could improve based on what you're doing before, where you're just kind of like quickly launching through your opening line? Maybe they weren't even hearing it. Like, what were you doing before, and how, what's the range of improvement you feel like you could get to? You nailed that.
I would say the improvements there, like, yeah, there could be room for a lot of improvement.
Okay, good.
For sure.
How about JD? You have any thoughts on this? Because you've been doing some approaches, light approaching, you could say.
Yeah, I think mine could stand for a lot of improvement in this regard of just pausing more and not rushing through what I'm saying.
The important thing is you guys got to love the fucking line, right? Like when I deliver that, hey, not to be that creepy guy, but I got to be that creepy guy. I think it's funny. It cracks me up. I enjoy saying it. It's like my favorite line of all the lines because I just really like it. And I don't want you guys to use lines that you don't like, right? You might like the, hey, I saw you and I had to risk embarrassing the fuck out of myself to meet you, or embarrassing the hell out of myself, or the heck out of myself, or just embarrassing myself. You know, you can embellish it to bring more emotion. But again, you really got to like that line. If you don't like the line, it's going to come off flat and lame. If you hate that, it could just literally be like, hey, what up? I'm Robbie. That delivered correctly, especially at a bar, especially if you've already gotten a little bit of, you know, eye contact already, right? That can be really potent because obviously she knows what's up. But like you could even do that in day game. You know, the guys that I've seen really crush at this the most, like the better they get, the less they rely on the actual lines, but having the lines, super important. How about you, Daddy? Fucking weird calling you Daddy. Because you've been doing a ton of day game.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with that part, you know? Yeah, I think that part of the approach is okay with me. The thing with me is just trying to extend it beyond, you know, a short, I'm just introducing myself and telling you we're going to go out and getting your contact info. Because I don't have a hard time getting the contact information. My drop off is between the contact info and getting a first response. So I just got to work on extending that interaction, making it a little bit more impactful or meaningful.
So here's the sort of, I'll ask. Yeah. So, all right. I'll go back to you, Mark, because I have a question for you too. But this is the, what I experienced was when I got really, really good at just delivering the 1-2 punch, which is stopping them correctly, right? That's so important. Making sure you're stopping them correctly. Everyone fucks it up before they come to immersion. But once you get them stopping correctly and then you deliver the 1-2 punch, you should get like that lighting up like a Christmas tree reaction at least 1 out of 10 times. Maybe 2 out of 10 times, you're really good, 3 or 4 out of 10 times, right? Like that's what you should be getting. And if you're not getting that reaction at that sort of frequency, that's how you know that your like opening system is kind of whack. Mark, how often is that happening for you? When she like lights up and you can just tell she's like so like stoked to hear that you just stopped her and gave her that opener.
About 3 out of 10, probably. And then when they do happen, they're like, they're really lit up. Like I can tell, okay, it's on. She likes it. Well, those 3 out of 10 also include people that have boyfriends, but those will be like, oh, this is great. Please keep doing this. This is awesome.
Right. Yeah, you're going to get probably half of them.
Yeah.
Giving you the light up, but oh my God, I'm so flattered. Thank you so much. Keep doing this. I love it. You're going to find an awesome girl. Yeah. Cool story. Great. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. I've done this to 25 girls today. So, you know, a lot of guys would make the mistake right then and there to launch into the roster line, which I haven't even really thought about until now. And that would be a mistake because you haven't yet like kind of gotten anywhere with her, right? You deliver an opening line, great, but you haven't got anywhere important. And what the roster line is it's basically a way to still get a girl's Instagram, even if she has a boyfriend. And for people listening on the podcast, I'm not trying to wreck homes out there. If she's married, just fucking let her go. But boyfriends come and go. I don't give a shit. If a girl has a boyfriend, Like the odds of that relationship working are like less than 0.5% or something ridiculous like that. So, you know, the
not only that, but they could be lying about it. Not only that, but they could be lying about having a boyfriend, which I've had, right? Within 2 days, I had a girl who told me she had a boyfriend come out on a date with me. So
exactly. Yeah. They're lying, or the boyfriend will be a thing of the past very soon. So fuck it. Who cares? But if you immediately launch into the boyfriend roster line, which is who wants to deliver the roster line? Or I guess I should do it because I'm the only one on camera. But let's see how I do. Well, let me get to it later. But the important thing is you should still try to continue like the interaction if she's investing in if she's not trying to leave, right? Like, so you got to kind of look at her feet, look if she's body rocking away, right? You've got to pay attention to does she want to leave, or is she down to like chat? And if she's down to chat, then it's the same. Like, you just in your mind, like, cool, you have a boyfriend, same as her saying like, you know, I just took a breath, or I like dogs. Like, it's irrelevant, right? So you just continue on. And I feel like this is where you guys are probably getting fucked up the most. So if you're really crushing the 1-2 punch, then my recommendation is to like immediately go into QFQF, which is question filler, which is essentially you're asking her like, so what are you up to today? Right? She's going to give you an answer. I'm coming from yoga. Oh, cool. Are you like one of these hardcore yogis, or are you like a yoga light? Like, you know, you don't go 9 days a week, right? And she'll probably have some comment about that, right? So that's the idea of question fillers. You ask a question, she responds, and you give some filler that's colorful commentary, all right? And that leads hopefully to finding a connection point and then the conversation kind of naturally flowing from there. And then at that point, that's when you know, once you've kind of found that connection point, that's when you'd want to go on to the next step, which is, you know, either the boyfriend roster line or just leaving. Or if she didn't have the boyfriend, obviously use the fake number line. Give me your number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. And then she's giving you the number and be like, ah, actually, fuck, I'm guessing you're on Instagram, right? Let's not deal with numbers. Just, you know, what's your Instagram? Or let me put my Instagram in your phone. So it's important to use a fake number line. This is one thing that everybody fucks up, is they'll just like, oh, well, Instagram's better, so I'm just going to use Instagram. I'm just going to ask for Instagrams. And it's really easy to get Instagrams because it's like a very low investment sort of thing for a girl to do. Like, okay, whatever, I'll just give my Instagram. It's already a public thing. But if you want that to actually have like a much better way, is go for the number, use the fake number line because it's funny. You're creating a little bit of tension, then releasing that tension. You know, hey, fun chatting, I got to run. How about this? Give me your number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. Right. And then she'll be like, okay, I'll give you my number. Right. And then as she's giving me the number, like, actually, let's not deal with numbers. I'm guessing you're on Instagram, right? She'll be like, yeah, all right, let me put myself in. I'll put myself in her phone and I'll follow myself. That way I'm not worried about, you know, her not following me. And now I have a much more solid number, well, contact on Instagram. And we want to be on Instagram, of course, because then we can use Instagram as a much better way of following up with girls, because you can post stories and she can follow your content and constantly be reminded. And if you're not using Instagram and you're only texting girls, kill yourself. It's like such a big mistake.
I honestly, anecdotally, my best date that I had in this past week was a girl who told me if I asked for her phone number, or if I had settled on just getting her phone number, she wouldn't have replied to me. Like, you know, it's the fact that I asked for the Instagram. And even then, she's like, if you didn't give me a funny opener on Instagram, I wouldn't have responded to you. So,
yes,
you know, it makes a difference. Yeah.
Huge difference. I mean, hopefully, if anyone's watching this, they've already watched, I think it was episode 221, where we talk about the importance or using the optimal way to use Instagram to like run your dating life. Because if you're running everything through Instagram, she's going to see your stories. She's going to be able to like interact with you. But yeah, so watch podcast, I think it's episode 221, on how to use Instagram to like really optimize your whole dating life. If you're just texting, kill yourself. Like I said, I'm gonna go back to that because I want to make a point about the first text. That's gonna kind of be the next thing. But just going back to like the boyfriend roster line. So let's say you do the 1-2 punch. Hey, not to be that creepy guy that like hits on you at the dry cleaner, but I gotta be that creepy guy. I swear though, I'm only like one third creepy. And then she laughs again. Right. So then I'm like, no, so where are you coming from? Where are you going? And she's like, well, actually, you know, it's so nice of you to approach me, but I have a boyfriend. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. So what are you up to today? Like, I just fucking, you know, don't even care about it. Right. And she tells me, oh, I'm just, you know, finishing up some work and then heading home. Like, oh, okay. What do you do for work? She goes, I'm in marketing and PR. Like, oh, okay. That's pretty vague. But I don't want to have a boring conversation about work. I'm guessing you don't want to talk about work after being at work all day. But, you know, what else am I supposed to ask a random stranger I just talked to on the street? Like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite Power Ranger? What's your favorite dinosaur? What's your Myers-Briggs? Like, I'm not actually asking you, but actually, no, what is your favorite Power Ranger? So that's the sort of bullshit I'll say. I'll call out the situation and I'll just ask a bunch of like obnoxious questions and absurdify. And then, right, then we're going to kind of get us. Did you actually ever watch Power Rangers? Am I dating myself here? I feel like Power Rangers was so long ago. You don't even fucking know what that is, I bet, because how old are you? Yeah. Anyways, looks like you got to run. I'm busy. Give me your number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. Right. And then she's like, oh, sorry, but I have a boyfriend, remember? Okay, well, of course you have a boyfriend. You know, look, you're a beautiful girl. If you didn't have a boyfriend, I think something was actually wrong with you. But I bet you also have a roster. And the roster is for if, God forbid, you break up with your boyfriend. I'm sure there's a list of guys that you'd like, you know, go out with after him. So I wish you the best with your boyfriend. But I do want to be on the top of that roster. So give me your IG. She's going to laugh and probably give me the IG. Right. So it's not just like I did the opening line and then smashed her with the boyfriend roster line. As soon as she said she had a boyfriend, like I gave that a chance to like not even matter. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Have you guys done that at all?
The few times that I've done it, I don't remember if I've just smashed it immediately, but it's whenever I've done it, it has worked out for me.
The beauty is you get to continue practicing your conversation skills when you do that. Like if she says I have a boyfriend after giving you a great reaction and you're just like, okay, have a good day. Or you immediately go into the boyfriend roster line. Like it doesn't, even if you get the Instagram or not, like you've missed a golden opportunity to have like a great conversation and to practice that hard middle part. That's like the hardest part is like after you've delivered the 1-2 punch, before you go for the fake number line, it's that stuff that's the hardest because we don't actually get like that much time to practice that because it's like only on the approaches that go well. And then we're nervous, right? I tend to get even a little bit more nervous during that second part. If I haven't approached in a while, if I have approached a lot, then that second part, you know, the conversation skills part gets a little bit easier. But it looked like Philip had a comment about that. In the chat, he says, I don't want to interject in your podcast, but I will stop going for the Instagram. Tried it for about a month and got really bad results. Feel free to interject because this is
okay. As much. And I'm going to interject.
Yeah, yeah. This is as much of a coaching call as is a podcast. So
yeah. Well, we talked about the importance of Instagram, mm-hmm. and I have like a okay-ish Instagram, whatever, and I try to go instead for the Instagram instead of the number for, I don't know, the last 3-4 months, a few weeks. Yeah, I get the Instagram, whatever. The rate is roughly the same as the number, but it introduces like another step of failure because sometimes they don't want to follow you. They want you to follow them and then you end up in their DMs with all the other guys.
All right. And so then, what I want you to do is I want you to get both. All right. If you're already comfortable getting numbers and you like getting numbers, I want you to get the number and then also get the Instagram. And then what I want you to do is first follow up on Instagram. If she doesn't respond, you always have the number. But I also haven't seen you posting any stories, like very few. And that's the whole key to the Instagram thing, which we can talk about in a second. But what do you think of that strategy before before the story posting thing. Can you do that? Can you get both?
Yeah, I can try to go for both, even though it's going to be slightly more awkward, but yeah, it's going to be fine. Yeah.
Well, it's only awkward if you present it in an awkward way. Like if you're like, oh man, I got to get both of her numbers and Instagram, and that's this harder thing to do. That's actually not the case. It's you get the number, use a fake number line. And then after she gets the number, be like, I don't even know why I just asked for your number, because I message basically everyone on Instagram anyways. Like, I hate texting. What's your Instagram? Let's chat there. Right. And then she's going to either say, no, I actually prefer to text, or I don't use Instagram or whatever. Then you know, don't go the Instagram route. But if she's like, sure, here's my IG, then you know to go that route. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. I like a lot the way you said that. Like, so I usually go for numbers. It's like ingrained in my head. And also it's just a natural follow-up from the fake number line. But the way you said it, by saying, hey, I don't know why I just asked you for a phone number. Like, I normally I'm on Instagram. Let's just like, give me your Instagram there. That's a more natural way of asking for it.
For sure.
Yeah. But if you hadn't said that, then I would have been like, how do I, like, I already asked, how do you like I've heard this concept before, but never knew how to switch from it from number to Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, you're just simply stating reality, because most of you guys actually do communicate on Instagram just as much as you probably do in text. I communicate 10x more on IG than I do on text. And if you want to be, you know, a true player in this game, you should be spending a lot more time on Instagram than on texting. Like when I get an actual iMessage, I get angry because I fucking hate any sort of message. WhatsApp, fine. I like WhatsApp, right? I communicate with all of you guys through WhatsApp, right? That's our primary means of communication. That's because I'm always traveling, but I hate texting. Like I prefer Instagram so much because half the time I'm like, who am I even texting with? Like, what am I even doing here? Like, oh yeah, this person's on IG. They did this cool thing today. Like, it's just such a better platform for getting to know someone or for like furthering a relationship, because you have all this, these data points, you have all these photos, you can see what they've done that day. It's like, it's so much better. So anyone who's like basically going the texting route, you're trying to get laid on hard mode, as one of our group members likes to say. It's hard enough to get laid on not hard mode, so let's do it on easy mode if we can, or less hard mode. But yeah, that transition to the Instagram, it should feel natural, it should feel easy, because it makes sense, right? So like, try that a few times. I think you'll have a lot of success with that, Mark. Backing up a little bit, does that all make sense about like practicing that middle part? Because it sounds like Daddy George, you're probably not doing that middle conversation almost at all. It sounds like you're just like, you know, using the elevator pitch. And the elevator pitch is fine, right? And for people who don't know, the elevator pitch is like, you do the opening line, then you immediately call out the fact that you're busy, right? So, hey, not a big creepy guy that like hits on you in the Starbucks, but I gotta be that creepy guy. I swear I'm only like a third creepy. Anyways, you look awesome. Would love to stay in chat. Gotta run, late for a meeting. Give me your number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. Putting in the number, right? Actually, I don't even know why I asked for your number. I'm always on Instagram. I'm guessing you are too. Way better to message on there. What's your IG? Get the IG. All right, see you later. That's it. Like, you can do that. That's great. For you guys who are struggling with conversation skills, do that for a while, or do that on half the times. But for all you guys on the call, you guys are all much more advanced than that. Maybe not JD. I'm not sure how many approaches he's done, but he goes, JD, you've got great, you know, natural conversation game anyway. So I wouldn't recommend too many of those. Those are kind of like training wheels. You know, you do a few of those just to kind of like get the rust off. But it's that middle part, the conversation that's going to come next, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And practicing that a lot, especially with girls who've given you the sorry, I have a boyfriend, but I'm so glad he did this. Like, those are the ones to practice on. Like, try to get those conversations going, because you never know. She could be like, once you start connecting, you might find out that like you guys are mutual friends of this other person, or she works for your company. There's like, there's all of these other reasons why continuing that conversation is A, good for your social skills, and B, you never know where that's going to go. So is everyone kind of sold on that?
My thoughts are, is I have to just, yeah, I mean, I could do the elevator pitch in my sleep, right? Because that is my go-to. I think I have to risk having a negative interaction with someone by sometimes maybe bumbling a little bit in that middle part of the conversation to get better at that middle part of the conversation, because that'll be in the long run more effective for sure. So I just have to dive in.
Yeah. You know, what really allowed me to get better at the middle part was like actually doing that 100 questions exercise. No one ever successfully does it, but you know, you spend some time like writing out like, all right, what's the normal question I'm going to ask someone, and what's the response, and what's the response for those responses? Because in your head, right, if you've got that decision tree, if you know what's going to come next, right, if you're thinking one or two or three moves ahead, you're going to be a much better player than if you're not, right? Like if you're only one move ahead in chess, you're an amateur, right? I'm a pretty good chess player. I'm like a 1600 ranking Elo, which puts me in like the top 3% of chess players worldwide. I'm thinking like 3 to 4 moves ahead, whereas like, you know, people 2000 and up are like an extra move ahead of that. But it's taken me, you know, probably 2 years of playing a lot of chess and getting a lot of lessons just to kind of get to that level. And the same kind of goes with approaching, right? And these conversation skills, like it probably took me a good year of like a lot of approaching to get to the point where I was even halfway decent at that next stage, which is just the vibing, the conversation skills part. Cause you need to have so many conversations and you need to be able to pick up on those patterns. Like the biggest one for me was finding like I use this one all the time. It's like the nurse, flight attendant, teacher situation, right? When a girl tells you she's a nurse, a flight attendant, or a teacher. And surprisingly, you hear about those three professions quite a lot, especially if you're going out at the bars. Like, and the reason why is all those people love to fucking party because they spend most of the day dealing with annoying people that make them want to like kill themselves, right? You're dealing with little annoying kids. You're dealing with people on a plane who are assholes to you. Or you're dealing with sick people. I think nurses are like the biggest, well, the biggest cheaters are definitely flight attendants, because they're always flying around, hooking up with people on their layovers, banging the pilots. The most party fun girls are usually nurses, because they're just like, there's, you know, they're at work all day dealing with just poor sick people, you know, and then they just want to let loose. So when a girl tells me like she's a nurse, a flight attendant, teacher, I'm like, okay, well, I know something about you. And she'll be like, what? And I'll be like, you love to fucking rage. And by rage, I mean, you're a party animal. And don't tell me you're not, because you 100% are, unless you're in the like 1% of outlier nurses who is just like not partying, or you haven't seen the benefits of partying yet, because you spend all day working with like sick people. How could you not want to do anything but like go out and party after that? Like, and she's going to feel like incredibly like understood, empathized with, heard, right? Like when you deliver that to one of those people in those professions, I've never gotten anything but like a, wow, my God, you fucking nailed it sort of response. Right. And then there's others that you kind of have to be a little bit more careful with. Like, you know, when a girl tells you like, oh, I'm like, you know, fun employed, you'd be like, oh, okay, so OnlyFans. Cool. I'm totally on OnlyFans too. I'm a, you know, hand model OnlyFans. That one can have some success. I know you've tried to pull that one off a few times, Mark. Obviously the hand model one, but the OnlyFans one too. But there's these situations that come up all the time when it comes to conversation skills. And anytime you've got this big database in your head, it's going to be easier to reference those. Because remember, being a good conversationalist is not about improv. It's more about recall. So there you have it. And that's kind of why I told AD earlier, like, yeah, he asked a question in Discord about like, how can I get better at that next part? And he's like, there's these products I could buy about like conversation skills. I'm like, the only value in those products was maybe there's some funny lines, right? Maybe there's another sort of, I don't know what you would want to call that, anecdote that I just mentioned about the teachers, flight attendant, nurses. Maybe there's something else like that, right? And if you've got a ton of these anecdotes in your head, that can be very valuable because now you can use those as tools in conversation. So if it was like a book full of that, that'd be great. But I haven't seen much like that aside from the content in our course. You go under, you know, conversation skills, there's like a gazillion of those things. So when you find the ones that you think are funny and you use them and you practice them in your everyday life, well, now you're going to quickly kind of recall them when you're approaching someone or when you're in a conversation with someone new, right? Like, it doesn't matter if I meet a nurse on an approach or I meet her through, you know, a friend, or like we're introduced at a work thing, I'm going to use that same thing because it's interesting. It's not like a game tactic. It's just an actual piece of interesting conversation. Is everyone clear on that?
You're clear. I think the one thing that's important for people to realize is that, you know, when you talk about the hundred questions, it sounds like a monumental task, but even if you get five, yeah, that's exactly what I was said. I'm like, even if you get five good questions, that is incrementally going to help probably a lot, you know, like those first five are going to be your most impactful, but like any more than you do beyond that, you know, it's only going to make you better. You don't need to have 100 to be good. You need to have five to be decently good, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. The stuff that always comes up is like, so where are you from? Right. She's going to tell you where she's from. And then you could be like, yeah, I've actually, you know, maybe I've never been there. Is it worth visiting? Right. And then she's either going to say yes or no. And depending on what she says, if she's like, yeah, it's awesome, be like, all right, well, sell me on it. What's so awesome about it? Because that's kind of interesting. Right. If she says like, no, it sucks, you could be like, oh man, you're like dogging on your hometown. That's pretty brutal. Like, what's so bad about it? Right. You want to kind of latch on to the emotion she's using and go into that. And that's where a lot of practice and getting good at this will come from, is from getting out of your head and being able to like read her and then respond to the emotional threads of that conversation. Right. That's what a lot of approaching does for you. So next I want to talk about any questions on that conversation skills part.
I have one thing. Right back to the boyfriend part, the inner nice guy in me says that once they say I have a boyfriend, it's more like a cue to leave. That's why I've been treating it, and you've been saying no, or you've told us now that no, you should just stick around and then try again and see if they still give that line. Because what I've been doing is, as soon as they give that boyfriend line, then I'll be like, oh no, of course, if a boyfriend, etc. So I guess if you could speak to that and tell my inner nice guy why I'm wrong.
Well, the inner nice guy is a fake, inauthentic idiot. So whatever he says is wrong. You know that for sure. But what it really is, it's not really your nice guy. It's just, you know, the desire to leave an uncomfortable situation, right? And I guess it is a nice guy. It's right. It's like you don't want to create that tension. You want to run away from tension. And the whole way to kill your nice guy is to enjoy sitting in tension and learn how to thrive in tension and become like cool as a cucumber in tension, right? Like all the best people, whatever they do, they're amazing at it because they're just really good at tension. You know, there's people like Vitaly.tv. He's made a fortune just like running into tense situations, like the guy who streaks in every major sporting event. You know, and he's done other things. He's just got a gazillion YouTube videos where he just like, you know, he takes wigs off people. He just creates, and he's like this buff Ukrainian guy. And like, he just figures out what would be awkward and crazy. And he'll do that. And people want to watch that because it's, they're like, fuck, I don't have the balls to ever do that. I can, right? So you kill your inner nice guy by like intentionally walking into tension and just like sitting in it. And then having fun with it eventually. Eventually it's like, oh, this isn't scary at all. This is actually fun. It makes me feel alive. This is cool. And then you become addicted to it. And then you got a streak at every major sporting event. But at least you monetize it, right? So
slippery slope here, Robbie.
A little bit, right? But it gets you paid at the end of the day. So I'd highly recommend it. But yeah, like when you get that feeling like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. She already rejected me. I might as well just end it. To be like, no, that's this is an opportunity here. This, like, this is where I'm going to practice. Now, if she tells you like dismissively, I have a boyfriend, and she's like trying to leave, then yeah, like, I don't want you like, you know, trying to ear fuck her with conversation. Oh, where are you coming from? Where are you going? You know, she's going to think you're a moron. But like, if she's actually giving you a great response, like, forget the boyfriend thing. Like, just be like, oh, she thinks I'm cool. Like, that's what you should be thinking when she responds to you. It's either she thinks I'm cool, she thinks I'm a loser, or, you know, she's undecided. And that tells you where to go. If she thinks you're cool, you just keep going on your normal course, right? If she thinks you're a loser, you call it out. And if she's undecided, well, you still continue on the normal course. And then you call it out if she hasn't changed it. So the call it out is like, oh, you're giving me that look. Like, you want me to like die in a grease fire. Man, you're like the fucking mean girl in high school. Used to like, you know, make fun of me. And I went to so many years of therapy to like get over all of your meanness. Oh my God, you're causing it again. And like, if she still hasn't broken at that point, like, you're done. But they will break if you stay in there. And like, if she hasn't rejected you, if she's just being mean, that's amazing, right? The response that you can't really do much with is like the deer in the headlights. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I used to get that all the time when I was at UC San Diego, because there was like so many Asian students. And you know, I'm not really that into Asian girls, but like, some are cute, of course. But whatever, culturally, I guess, like, they were a lot more sort of like scared if you approached them, like they didn't know what to do. They like, I could see them like short circuiting, like.
Very true.
And like, the only thing to call it out is like, yo, fucking chill out. Like, it's just a conversation. Are you a fucking robot? Right. And that didn't work, obviously. So.
No, not.
Oh my God, somebody's talking to you. Better go study. The library's over there. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Fucking annoying. Oh my God. So, but yeah, that doesn't work. Next part that I want to dive into, and this is one I've seen being like abused all the time, is people being lazy on their initial text and just using one of the boilerplate funny lines rather than thinking of callback humor.
Oh God.
You're fucking doing that.
Here we go again.
Dying in this fire. Stay in the conversation long enough to get callback humor.
Exactly.
That's where number two, part two of the whole approach comes into handy here.
Because imagine you've had a fun conversation, you had this connection point. You talk about the fact that you both love the Chargers and you're so pissed that they moved to LA, right? Then you follow up with a joke about that. Like, hey, Spanos, how's your fucking day going? Thanks again for being an asshole and moving the Chargers to LA. Oh, wait, this isn't Spanos. This is Jessica. Sorry, that text was, sorry, wrong person, right? She's going to think that's hilarious. You think she's not going to respond to that shit? She will respond 100 out of 100 times, even if she doesn't like you, right? Because it's good. And, yeah. All right, versus the, hey, it's the charming, charismatic, but not so modest guy that you met at Starbucks last week. It's like, all right, buddy. Yeah, great. That's funny. I'm sure you got that out of some, you know, pickup artist ebook, right?
You got out of the Make Her Want You
Texting Secrets guy, didn't you? Right? Like, these girls know, right? It's like, it's better to send that than to say, hey, how's your day, right? But
culturally too, because there's like half the people in this call are in the wrong and the other time zones now. Better to be funny like that or than the standard boring line.
Well, that's a problem. You're kind of breaking up there, but what I think I heard was if she's English as a second language, yeah, she's not going to think your jokes are funny or she's not going to understand, right?
Yeah.
Like, but I actually think that doesn't make it any harder. It might actually make it easier. You know, when I moved to Europe and I moved to, you know, Ukraine, where the English was so bad, it's like 25% of people maybe spoke English, and it's not like their English was great. Their English was like, you know, 4 or 5 year old level. They could have a conversation, but just not a very fast or a good one. Those jokes are never going to land. But just kind of going with, you know, different content. This is why Instagram is, again, so important. even way more important, right? When you're in a different culture and you don't have the language, now you really need Instagram. But yeah, you don't want to go with the standard messages. They just don't work, which is what we saw. It was like everyone was using the, like, which line was it? The where you flip the script, where basically it's like you approach a girl, right? You got her number, and then you text her, be like, hey, it was so brave of you, how you approached and hit on me and got my number at the Starbucks, right? So you're accusing her of what you just did. And that line in the US is kind of funny, right? I'd get a laugh out of that one a decent amount of times if I had nothing else to tell her, but you use that anywhere else, like, it's going to fail most of the time, right? So you guys really, really, really need to think of callback humor, because that's what makes you a better texter. Like, sitting there thinking about, like, what to actually write this girl and putting in some serious thought is what will make you better. And it sucks. It's annoying. It's long. It's hard. But that's what you have the group for a lot of the time. I'm not saying, you know, I'm always the quickest to answer those questions, but I'm pretty good when I do answer them, I think. Or a lot of the time, like, I just won't have anything. Like, sometimes guys think like, oh, well, if I post in there, then they can save me because I'm not getting a response here. It's like, most of the time you're already dead, right? So even if we do come up with an amazing response, it's really not going to matter, right? But the more you guys can have better initial conversations, right? And then provide me with a lot of context. Like, we talked about this, we laughed about that. The odds of me not helping you guys to come up with some callback humor is very low. Like, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to think of something fucking funny to write. And that funny thing is going to probably make the difference between seeing this girl or not. And the whole thing about, like, I'm not just going to spoon feed you guys. Like, you guys have to think of your own thing, you know, put the suggestion into Discord, and then I'll grade that suggestion, and then I'll give you mine. Like, that's how you become a good texter, is you stay in conversation, you find something, some connection point, right? And then you figure out how to make it interesting. And then you get feedback if it sucks. You keep going. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of that in the group, to be honest. I'm seeing a lot of, went on a date with this girl and now she's not responding anymore. Or got this girl's number, we exchanged a few texts, and now she's going cold, right? I'm not seeing, hey, had this awesome approach, here's what happened, what should my initial text be? Because it seems like everyone's too eager to text, or just, you know, thinking they're really good at that part. Like, that's the most important thing, is that initial text and having, you know, that callback humor from the conversation. So I want to hear from you guys on that. Who has a response to that?
It's totally true what you just said. I think about a year ago, more people were doing exactly what you said. They would have a little bit longer conversations. They would put the context in. They would ask for, like, oh, I could do this, this, or this. But now the questions in the Discord are like, post-date, what do I say? And at that point, you're kind of dying if you're been on a date and don't know what to say at that point.
Yeah. You know, most of the, well, this will be interesting once we have the data, but my guess is once a girl gets put into the organized girl advice column, which means you've been on a date with her, you're probably stuck with at some point, because otherwise most people are too lazy to post, and you're wanting help to, like, revive a dead lead. I'm guessing that the huge majority of these girls that are entered into that, you know, organized advice column, will be, you know, dead leads. But for those of you who are, you know, savvy enough to post in there before, like, post more of them, then we'll have a lot of examples of not dead leads and really great, like, you know, case studies of what works.
I could really speak to that, especially this week. Like, this week, you know, I had four dates. Three of them were first dates, and every day, the next day after the first day, I wrote it up, and I tried to do it as early in the morning as possible, and it was so helpful because I took the advice that I got for that date the night before, implemented it on the next date coming up that night, and it went better. It would go better, and then the next one went better, and the next one went better. So it's really important to do that, because, and the more often you do that and the more details you put in the description, I think it greatly enhances the likelihood that if something you are doing that you don't even realize is a mistake is going to get caught by somebody that's reading your analysis. So.
Yep. Here we go. This one was put in yesterday, right? Or no, you closed this one.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Asian chick? What are you talking about?
Daniela.
Yeah,
right?
This is Daniela.
So I'm just kind of showing this for the, you know, this is what we're talking about for you guys who aren't in the group and listening on this as a podcast, is these organized advice threads where you go under here, organized girl advice, you get new post, and you follow the instructions, which is you put her name, her, you know, age, if you kind of know, and then where you met her. So this one, Bree, you know, was posted by AD, mid-20s day game. He said, met her yesterday heading home from work. She said she was in a rush and said, I'll give you my number. She is master's in social work in NYU. I'm thinking, hopefully you're not stuck in class all day and you can get to enjoy the day. But here's an example where he should have consulted us first.
Yeah.
For the text, right? Instead of sending this, which is like, okay, but it's kind of lame too. Hey, it was meeting you yesterday.
Word here too, because we would have caught that.
Yeah.
And you can just copy paste from, I mean, we'll all go back and forth on it, not just copy paste, but at some point you can just copy paste and the suggestion, and then you won't get this missing word here that totally like docks you 10 points here.
Totally. It was meeting you yesterday, even though I spaced out on what to say. Ha, I assume you made it to dinner on time.
Like every
cool fucking text, bro. That's so boring. It's so lame, right?
Yeah.
If you guys got that text, how excited would you be?
I don't know even what to respond. Yes, I made it to dinner on time. Or no, I didn't.
Right. Hey, yeah, I did. Nice to meet you. Like you're already
That's what she responds to.
Yeah. Oh, you can't even see it, right? You're just guessing. No. Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
Yeah.
So it's like you only get one chance to make an amazing first impression, right? And you only get one chance to show that you're a good texter. It's your opening text, right? Because she reads this text and now in her brain forever is like, oh, this guy's going to send me boring stuff. Versus you send her a fucking hilarious opening message. Now she's like, oh, wow, okay. This guy's pretty sharp. This is interesting. But you only get one chance for that, right? You don't like, and now like if he tries to follow up with something hilarious and amazing, yeah, that could be good. But it could then kind of be looked through a different lens. Like it might look try hard or it might look weird. It's like those situations where you're in a conversation and you've been like totally like normal and not joking at all and just like, you know, deadpan, and then all of a sudden you like try to make some funny joke, but they're not expecting a joke, so like they totally miss a joke because they've already kind of typecast you as a certain way, right? You get typecast. That's just how we work as humans. It's just, you know, so now we're trying to figure out like what does he say now, right? And everyone's giving him responses because, you know, but like go with what I said. What should I send? Something that will create a conversation because your interaction was so short. Another example why you need to have longer interactions, right? Because then it's just tough to like deal with these sorts of things. But sometimes you can't, so we do what we can. But that's kind of, you know, right there, perfect example.
If he listens to this, I'm no better. I make the same mistakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, his rebuttal might be like, I couldn't get the conversation to go longer. It's like, okay, fine. Like, at least you got the number, right? And at least she's responding. That's a good sign. And these little details are the thing that really takes people's game to the next level. You know, like if I meet a girl, if I'm out and I'm doing day game, right? Maybe I do 10 approaches. One of them is going to be good, right? For sure. One will be good. I'm going to put a lot of fucking thought into that opening text because I just spent 2.5-3 hours like getting that number. Like I'm not going to just send some boilerplate nonsense. Because like that's a hard fought lead. Like, well, why would you not, you know, really cherish the lead? Right. Obviously, for like seeking or other these online dating platforms, hey, maybe not that big of a deal because leads are a little like easier to come by. But certainly once you've transitioned off the dating platform, like that first text needs to be good, right? Because now you're in like a new phase of that relationship. So that is really important. Like putting a lot of good hard work into some of these things is super important and not just firing off lackluster techs. Like, it's very hard to recover from lackluster texting. My sister's single now, and like, it's so interesting to hear what she's been saying. She's like, yeah, I really like him, but he's a shitty texter. What? You know, it's even shocking to me. I'm like, wait, so you really like him, but he's a shitty texter, and now you don't like him as much? She's like, yeah, because like, he's boring. He sends me like, how's it going? Like, how's your day? Happy Friday, happy Sunday. It's like, fuck off. Like, this guy's not gonna, you know, get laid because his texting sucks, even though he's like a doctor, you know, good looking dude, rich, you know, has good in-person game, but his texting sucks, so he's not gonna get laid. And I'm sure he thinks texting matters like this much, right? But it does. Shit matters a lot. So that's kind of...
I did not realize that when you... I mean, well, I knew it mattered, but the fact that your sister said that, let's just put some more emphasis on like texting really matters. And if you have like, if you screw up, you lose those points.
Yeah, they are judging you everywhere, right? You can't just be like, oh, well, I'm good in person. You know, I got a big dick, so whatever. I can just kind of float through the rest of it. No.
You'll never see it then.
Yep.
You'll never want to see it.
So what are your guys' biggest ahas? Let's kind of go around the room. Why don't we start? Let's start with JD. Put him on the spot. What's your biggest takeaway from this talk?
I would say probably the focus on the opening line and just the... like the nuances of the delivery there and how much they matter is interesting.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's the thing that would be most beneficial for you too. Cause, I think your follow-up conversation is pretty solid. Like we saw that with the flirting practice the other day with Taylor, you were good, you know, you were great there, but nailing that opening line, that's going to be the game changer.
Yeah. There's a lot of room for improvement there. No doubt.
Cool. Philip,
probably the same. I have like I don't have like a 1-2 punch. I have like a 0.5 punch, and and the one punch I'm throwing is like landing only like 1/3 of the time. It's, and I don't have first punch. It's I don't know. If it works and we get in the conversation afterwards, I can be good on sometimes. Depends on what she's giving me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that follow-up line of the like...
Yeah, yeah.
The like three questions thing, that can also kind of work as a punch if you deliver that correctly, right? And the way to deliver that correctly, it's like, you know, you give the opening line. Let's say it's the embarrassing myself. Hey, I saw you. I didn't risk embarrassing the hell out of myself to meet you. I'm Robbie. Hey, I'm Jessica. So, fuck. I mean, what am I supposed to ask you, Jessica? Like, we just met on the sidewalk. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite animal? What's your favorite ice cream? Actually, I don't care about any of those things, obviously. Like, at that point, she should be laughing, right? If you deliver it like that. So, good. Mark, what's your biggest takeaway?
I just said it right before you went into the takeaways, but I can say it again. It's these, whenever, like, I hear another girl say, like, this is... like just lay something without actually being interrogated, like with your sister, like, oh, the texting game is just not, just losing points in my head. Those, yeah. When they say it in that sense, it just really hits home for me. Like, oh, this is important. Right. That's happened before with Taylor actually in indirectly.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. And Geo Daddy.
I'm not sure if you'd agree, you probably would. But I think two of my weakest areas are the middle part of that conversation during, an approach and texting. And, I have to prioritize both of those in terms of improving them. And the plan that I have now is to work on the 100 questions, starting with 5. For the day game, and then also being more thoughtful and meticulous with my texting as opposed to just really trying to execute and get to that date where I know I can shine in person. I need to make a good impact via text.
Good. Yeah, I like that. So more convo for callback humor and then nailing that initial text. I think that will severely improve your conversion rates.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for showing up and making this possible. I wasn't going to do it, but you guys came through.
So you got your four, Robbie. All four.
The four. Philip was pushing. I like it, Philip. Good work.
All right, guys, have a good one.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you're new to the show and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you listen or watch. But if you're not really digging it, go ahead, just don't leave us any review at all. That'd be great. If you're feeling a little bit stuck or you just want to optimize and step up your game, we've opened up a few spots in our Inner Confidence community. We're accepting applications if you want to join our select group of men and experience the radical power of accountability, cross everything off your sexual bucket list, and just become a beast who gets more stuff done. To learn more and apply, go to start.innerconfidence.com.